Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7.
Hey, hey, welcome to another one of our podcast recordings. My name is Kevin Guthrie, local psychotherapist. I am joined in the studio today by the very special Keith Girling. Welcome, Keith.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. We're going to talk about a few different things today. So remember, as we do these podcasts, we really value your feedback. We really value your questions. If we say anything that resonates and you need to check that out, then feel free to email us. You can catch me at Guthrie Therapy's Facebook page. Feel free to message me on there. And also, you know, we're looking for ideas on what you want covering via these podcasts. The general idea is that we can dispel some of the myths around mental health, make it more accessible, make it more understandable for people, and hopefully spread some happiness in the world, get people to a place where they can kind of just be happier in life. Today we're going to look at PTSD. So for those that don't know what PTSD is, it stands for post-traumatic stress disorder. It's more and more, the acronym is used more and more these days, so most people know what it is, but that's what it is, post-traumatic stress disorder. Keith, what have you got to say about post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, I look after a charity which looks after injured service personnel and their families, and obviously we come across post-traumatic stress quite a lot, really. And what struck it with me is it's a vast subject. It's not just a simple thing to go into, and there's all different degrees at it. So we've got some service users that are struggling day to day just to sort of things upset them, to people that are we're working really hard with to stop them committing suicide. So we've got, it's a massive range within that as well, and you sort of can have it to the degree of wanting to commit suicide, but you can go to the degree where you just get upset a bit, but it can come back, and it's about managing it, and it's about recognizing the signals when it's coming so that you can put things in place to stop it getting to that stage.
Yeah, absolutely. So the what's the charity called?
It's called the Newark Patriotic Fund.
We look brilliant.
And it's local.
Yeah.
Newark and Sherwood District area, basically, and the Newark Advertiser distribution area. But if there's somebody outside that, we won't turn them away. That's just for the charity purposes.
Oh, excellent. So how does your charity manage or work with PTSD?
Well, we're sort of a signposting group, really. So we get to know the veterans and the families. We have a drop in every Monday morning, 10 till 12. I'm missing my bacon butty this morning because you get a free cup of coffee or tea and a bacon butty.
Nice.
And we get about 30 turn up. And the good thing about that is we get to see them every week.
Yeah.
And the thing about soldiers, if you say you're all right, mate, they'll say, yeah. Of course I am. But when you see them all the time, when they say, yeah, you can tell it's a bit different.
Yeah.
And then you can take them to one side and say, right, okay, then what is the problem?
Yeah.
And we'll then refer them to where we feel they'll be best suited to go.
Yeah.
So if it's combat stress, we'll send them to combat stress. If it's to help the heroes, we'll send them there. But we would always hold the hand and we're always there for if it doesn't work, because sometimes it doesn't work. We've even tried the more spiritual side, so and it's worked for some. You know, some have been through all the standard ones, and then we say, "Well, try this spiritual one."
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want that. But oh, just give it a go. Don't mind. They come back raving about it, and he went a few times, and is in a lot better place than he was before he went.
Yeah.
So it's not about putting people in boxes. That's one of the biggest things I've noticed about it, and that's one of the things I think is a big weakness in some of the charities.
Yeah, because people are really, people are just different, and everybody has their own past, their own beliefs, their own understanding of how things work. When I'm working with clients, I have no idea what place a client will be when they walk through the door or what they will need that day. You have to kind of think on your feet. And when I look at my toolbox is massive, just because for me it has to be. I have to be able to go into different directions, whether that be spiritual, whether that be CBT, whether that be psych, it doesn't matter. I have to have that range. One size does not fit all, particularly when it comes to our minds.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I go and see a therapist every Monday morning, 9 o'clock. I go and see a therapist, and I'm driving. She lives in Fernwood. I drive up there thinking, what am I going to talk about today? I go in there, sit down. She says, "How's your meat been?" And I said, "Where's that come from?" And she said, "If she had got a pound for every time somebody said that, she'd be a millionaire." And it just comes because it comes from the heart.
Yeah,
it's not preconceived. You're not trying to prove anything. You're trying to get to the bottom of something, and the only way you'll ever do that is by being open and honest about it.
Yeah.
If you hold things back when you go to see a therapist, then you're kidding yourself. It's like playing golf and cheating. You're not a good player. You're just a cheat.
And actually, you know, some people do that. I have clients who you can kind of see they're not being quite honest and authentic in the room, and they have their own reasons for doing that, and I completely get it, but therapy works its best when people just go. I need to learn to finish a sentence.
Yeah.
When people just go, sometimes when I'm working with couples and they just go, and you can see them talking and talking and talking, and then they'll look back at me and go, "Oh my God, is this okay?" And I'm like, "This is perfect."
Yeah.
Just keep going, because then I get a sense of their dynamic and where they're going. If it's an individual person, they start saying the odd words, and when we get more and more and more emotional, then stuff starts coming out, and I'll go, "Oh, tell me about that part there."
Yeah. I mean, that happened this morning. It's sort of, she's brilliant in terms of reading body language and things like that. And my right leg, my right foot was flapping around, you know, I walked in feeling quite tearful.
Right.
And we're not even spoken about anything. But I started the day feeling melancholy and a bit angry, and I couldn't understand why, because I'm not had a bad week or anything like that. I just felt it that day. And then we went through it, and it just came out. And then you realise where your frustrations are from. And the talking about it and admitting it is a massive step forward. We can all pretend. I got depression, really bad depression, in a very, very dark place. And you know, sort myself out. You know, the stereotypical alpha male, been in the army 18 years, you know, I don't believe in none of that, you know, combat stress rubbish. I've seen things and I'm all right, mate, you know. And you're not. And all you do, really, is you box it away.
Yeah.
Well, that's not dealing with it. That's hiding it. And eventually it'll come out. So what I've decided to do, and I've been seeing a therapist now for about 3 or 4 months, I think, maybe a little bit more, is to deal with it.
Yeah.
And the difference in me as a person is amazing. I've lost a lot of my aggressive tendencies. I don't mean in terms of wanting to fight, but in terms of how I'd answer people, to be quite aggressive. It'd be quite dismissive if I didn't like what they were saying, you know. I think people have commented on how I've changed recently. So it works, but you've got to deal with it. You know, you've got to go and get to somebody, a therapist, trust them, and then tell them everything. And it comes out. To be honest, you give yourself your own answers.
Yeah.
The answers are there. You just can't see them, and you need to speak to somebody who you can trust, who's a therapist, who knows how to manage what you're saying so that you get the best from it. And that's why I go and see a therapist.
Yeah. It's about, therapy is all about, for me, it's about allowing, creating a space where people can be themselves. It's non-judgmental, it's confidential. And like you say, you don't lead them to that place, but you just gently, gently help them to unravel. There's a picture on my Facebook page which will be about 24 hours old now, and it's sadly two women sat opposite each other in two chairs. One has a head full of kind of like wool that's all mixed up, and the wool goes across to the therapist's head, and she's wrapped up into two very neat balls.
Yeah.
And it's just brilliant, you know, as a visual.
Yeah.
And you're going, this is how therapy works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because as a therapist, we can see things differently to the way you see things.
Well, you're detached, and that's the thing. I've been a business consultant, and I've gone into big businesses, and, you know, they're so engrossed in it. It's their baby. They can't see the obvious.
No.
They just can't see it. And you go in and say, well, what about this? And you get them to give you the answer.
Yeah.
You know, so it's their answer, because it's going to work better if it's their answer.
Completely.
But they've always had the answer.
Yeah.
And that's how I see therapy, really. I know the answer.
Yeah.
I just can't see it. And the therapist opens the blinds for you so you can see it.
Completely. What is it they say? You can't see the wood for the trees.
Absolutely, yeah.
You said earlier that you used the word aggression, and in my head I turned that and went, I asked myself the question, was it aggression or was it defensiveness?
I think it's a bit of both. It's like I saw something the other day which summed it up. Because now, if anybody has a go at me, because being a councillor, I'm a politician.
Target.
So you're always getting somebody have a go at you. And sometimes I feel quite tearful. And the tearful bit is frustration.
Yeah.
Because I know what I've done in the past as a soldier.
Yeah.
And I know that what I could do if I put my mind to it.
Yeah.
And my fear is always that I won't then be able to stop.
Yeah.
So I get tearful because through frustration.
Yeah.
And people see it as weakness. Actually, I'm showing great strength.
Yeah.
Because actually what I want to do is rip the face off. Yeah. And but I don't. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I get myself in a lot of trouble as a council, wouldn't I? But it's a battle that everybody has to deal with, you know. And as I say, by doing this therapy, I feel less and less and less inclined to be aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, and if I see that I'm getting that way, I'm more equipped. I've got a toolbox now, which pushes me away from that.
Yeah. It feels like you're more at ease with yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I'm more content because I've always been my own biggest critic. You know, people call me. It does hurt me. Of course it does. I have sleepless nights because of it. I'm not supposed to because, you know, but I do. But actually, they've never called me anything that I haven't called myself.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've been having to work on because actually I'm actually quite good at what I do.
Yeah.
You know, but it's realising that, you know, I had a good army career. I did really well. I commanded men in combat.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't lose anybody. You know, that's marvellous. You know, I was respected as the platoon sergeant. They looked up to me. That's a great place to be.
How long are you in for?
18 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I joined when I was 18, basically.
Yeah.
And you know, I've done tours of Northern Ireland. I've done the Gulf War. You know, I've been in combat. I've been blown up, shot at, stabbed. You know, I've seen things that most people wouldn't want to see. I didn't want to see, but you see it. You know.
It feels like in the UK that we have it's almost like an unwritten amount of respect for people that have done those 18 years or done any kind of service. Would you agree with that, or would you say we're still missing some?
I would agree. I would. It's changed. The national respect for the forces now is greater than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And I think part and parcel of that is the access now to the media.
Yeah.
So Facebook, the news, all that. Whereas before, they was doing things and nobody knew. You know, you'd get a newspaper come out weeks after and all that. It's instant now.
Yeah.
I think there's a danger that, and I've seen some posts on Facebook which I've been really quite annoyed about by service veterans.
Yeah.
Where they say, you know, I've done this, unless you've done that, don't,
yeah.
You know, and I've earned the right to have a job, a house and all this. Mm. No, they haven't. You know, there's people that's struggling in this country through no fault of their own, equally deserve the support of this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'm a great advocate of the covenant that we should not be disadvantaged by our service.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the country should be understanding because we are put in situations that most people would not want to be in
yeah.
or wouldn't cope with being in. By virtue of where we've been sent, you know, when you see somebody's body strewn all over the floor, it's not pleasant.
No.
But we have paramedics see that. We have police officers see that.
Of course.
We have the fire brigade see that. So, you know, I'm not one that all the forces is the main thing.
Yeah.
Yes, we've served. Yes, we've done our job and we've done a good job, you know, and we've done this country proud. But, you know, that doesn't give us any more rights than anybody else, I don't believe.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I like that. We were talking about PTSD earlier.
Yep.
And I wrote down Big T and Little T, and it was something somebody said to me the other week. It was my supervisor, actually, and she talked about the big T's and the little T's. Mm. So there's big trauma and there's little trauma. Whenever, quite often when we think about PTSD, we do think about the forces. But we were chatting off air earlier, and we were saying it's not just about people that have been in the forces.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
Trauma happens to us all in many, many situations. Through miscarriage, through domestic abuse, through seeing things that you maybe shouldn't have seen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that happens in
absolutely
happens in life.
Yeah. I mean, people are kids are sexually abused.
Yeah.
You're telling me they won't have post-traumatic stress?
Of
it's course. Not always about seeing a body strewn about. Oh, it's your mate whose body parts you're picking up.
Yeah.
Of course that's stressful. Of course you but not everybody that sees that gets post-traumatic stress.
No.
You know, some people are perfectly capable of coping with that.
Yeah.
And as we were saying offline earlier, one of the things, messages I wanted to get across is the percentage of forces, veterans, with mental health issues is less per head than the civilians.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's more civilians, percentage-wise, have mental health issues than there are those that have been through the forces.
Yeah.
So we're all not like Grant of EastEnders, you know, want to kill everybody and all that sort of thing. You know, we're normal people, get on with a normal life. But most people will have, at some point in their life, a mental health issue at some degree. It doesn't have to be that, you know, you're sort of licking windows or anything.
Yeah.
We do, because we go through trauma in our lives. And one of the things, a big message, and I think the Royal Family have done amazing
in
coming out about their
really have.
Mental health issues, is normalise it.
Yeah,
you know, because if you think less of somebody because they've had a mental health issue, actually you need to look at yourself.
Yeah,
look in the mirror, mate.
Oh, completely.
You know, and that to me is the biggest message. And instead of looking at them and judging people, is actually going to help them.
Yeah,
and show support, because most people, when they have got post-traumatic stress or depression, they don't think anybody cares.
Yeah.
You know, I did a mental health first aid course, and they talked about suicide, and it was fascinating. And San Francisco Bridge is the most used place for suicide in the world.
Wow.
Okay? And there's actually a club called San Francisco Survivors Club.
Yeah.
Where they jumped off the bridge and survived.
Right.
Okay? So they committed suicide, but didn't die, basically. And it's not a big club, as you can imagine, but there's a club. And every single one of them said, as soon as they let go, they regretted it.
Wow.
Every single one. So you imagine all the ones that succeeded letting go and regretting it. That's amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah.
And the guy that was talking about it, he said, I was walking along the bridge knowing I was going to commit suicide. So I came to the middle to commit suicide. And there's a group of people there. And one of them asked me to take a picture of him on the bridge.
Wow.
And he said that persuaded me to jump off, because I'm going through all this in my mind of how bad I am, what place I'm in, and they can't see it, and they're asking me to take a picture. You know, and that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
we get stuck in our own little bubbles.
Yeah,
and very seldom do we step out and say, "You okay? How you doing?" I think British Rail or one of the railway stations did a great thing. Later on last year or earlier this year, and it was about approaching people at train stations and just saying, how you doing?
Yeah.
Because it just breaks it.
Yeah. I saw on Facebook, I love Facebook, Adam, I'm always on there. I saw on Facebook, because it's been Father's Day, hasn't it?
Yep.
And I think there was a Pride March somewhere.
Yeah.
And there was somebody there saying, anybody whose parents don't accept the fact they're gay, I'm here to give you a hug.
Aww.
So it was. I think it was a dad saying, come here, I'll give you a hug. You know, because parents don't accept with some people that they're gay. Others, they accept them because they love their son or daughter. But, you know, can you imagine that your parents can't accept who you are?
And they throw you out.
Yeah, and of course, sometimes you can see why we can't accept who we are.
Yeah.
If that sort of thing's happening to us, you know, am I wrong?
Yeah.
If you know, because your belief mechanism is your parents.
Of course it is.
And then for them to say, you know, get out, we don't want any. And you just think, wow, you know, so that's traumatic in itself.
Of course.
You know, so there's all these sorts of things going on in our lives that can cause it. And it doesn't have to be a big event.
No. No, it was like big T, little T trauma. There's little things as well that just get stuck. Or we put in a box and then it just stays there. And like you said earlier, that box is never going to stay closed for the rest of your life.
No.
It's surprising how many people I work with that get to, I don't know, 40s, 50s, and they go, I've managed this all of my life. Why now? Why now? Why now can't I cope? And I just go, feels like there's too many boxes around.
Yeah.
Because we can only carry too many. I always use this visualization. Yes, there's boxes there, but we are carrying those boxes on our backs. Mm. And at some point, we're going to break.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Well, that's what happened to me. I was successful. I was on about £98,000 a year. Mm-hmm. You know, good, single. That's not bad income for when you're single. That's a lot of nights out. You know, things going well. I was just things going well.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I imploded.
Yeah.
And it was like everybody was taking from me. You know, and I don't mean the money, but just taking bits out of my emotions and my you know. Doing things and I just imploded, and I packed everything in. The only thing I didn't pack in was at that time I was the vice chairman of the New York Patriotic Fund.
Yeah,
that was the only thing I didn't pack in, and I think that's because I knew I needed it.
Yeah,
I needed the fact I was helping people.
Yeah,
I needed that for my own self-esteem. I needed that to show me there's a way out.
Yeah,
now, I never used the New York Patriotic Fund for it.
Yeah.
In terms of going as a service user, because I felt that if I did that, people might think, oh, he's only been the vice chairman so he can get help from them.
Yeah.
I mean, how pathetic is that? Mm. You know, I desperately needed help.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, and if you've got great friends, you've got great friends. And luckily, I've got great friends. And one of them said, why don't you come and work for me, Keith, in a wine bar? You need to be with people. And I did that, and it brought me out. It didn't solve it. It brought me out. Because it helped me put them back in the box. What I'm doing now is opening those boxes and dealing with what's in there, and that's the key.
Yeah.
Open the box, deal with what's in there, and get somebody to help you do that.
Yeah, completely, completely. We all need friends. Oh, you tapped into something then. What was it? Oh, it was about giving back. They always refer to therapists as wounded healers, you know?
Yeah,
It's this phrase. And to be fair... I guess most of us, not all of us, but most of us are wounded healers. But there is something really powerful in giving back to people on a day-to-day basis. There's a list somewhere on the internet of 100 things that you can do to make yourself feel better. And on the list is doing things for other people.
Yeah.
Because we like that. And there's no such thing as a selfless act. If I give a homeless person a sandwich, it's going to make me feel better. It just is. There's no getting away from that whatsoever. But I own it, and I'm like, I'm okay with that. As long as he gets a sandwich, I'll take the part where I feel a little bit better for that. Mm. What I wouldn't do is then put it on Facebook and brag about it.
But
there's something really powerful in being able to give back to people and just do those little things.
Well, when you get, you know, I'm not a therapist in any way, shape or form, but they trust you.
Yeah.
You know, they get to know you and they trust you, and they'll tell you things that they wouldn't tell anybody else.
Yeah.
And you've got to manage that expectation from them.
Hold it.
And you've got to be really careful what you say, because if it's interpreted wrong, the consequences could be disastrous. Well, that puts a massive pressure on you.
Yeah.
Massive pressure on you. And I have great respect to therapists, because, you know, I'm doing it at the moment because the person we had doing it now doesn't work for us.
Yeah.
So while we're looking at what we're going to do next, mm-hmm. I'm covering that. So I'm seeing them and going through it all. It drains you.
Yeah.
Absolutely drains. I'm knackered at the end of the evening if I've spent 2 hours with one of them, because I've got all that emotional baggage that I've then got to process for me and get rid of, so that I'm not affected in a negative way by it. And it's hard work. So, you know, that's off to you all.
It is hard work, but it's also there's like a balance to therapy. It's really hard work and it's very emotionally draining, but it's also very, very rewarding.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
I find on a personal level that I can be more intolerant of people in general public that are going through the same rubbish but not dealing with it and not seeking the help. I kind of get a little bit... My empathy box is usually quite empty by the time I've finished a full week at work.
I can imagine.
There's just not a lot left, as my partner will testify greatly. I'm sure he would. But, there's not a lot of empathy left. Yeah. But I just think... And actually, you know what? It really saddens me when I see people going through the same sadness over and over and over again. And I'll say... I tried to say very simply, what are you going to change?
Yeah. It's definition of madness, isn't it? Keep doing what you're always doing, expecting a different result.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I've done. That was the decision I made. You know, I was this, combat infantry soldier for 18 years, you know, red-blooded Englishman, you know, nothing's too hard for me, you know, all that sort of bull that you get when you're in a totally male environment. You know, you can't show weakness, you can't show... show anything like that, because you can actually. The reality is you can.
Of course you can.
But you, in your head, you can't, because, you know, you've got to lead them into something that they might not want to do.
Yeah.
And they've got to trust you. The, you know, and that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, the path in there is, somebody arrived the other week and told me about something, and then this client looked at me and went, how do we handle that? And I went, carefully. Mm. I says, we have to handle it really, really slowly and really carefully, and at your speed. It has to be at your speed. Mm. And sometimes people can come and they can deliver something in the first session and say, this is what happened to me. And we might not look at that again for another 8 weeks, literally, because in that 6 or 8 weeks, we are building the relationship, we'll talk about other stuff, we'll do other work, but we don't look at that particular thing because I need to be sure that they're ready.
Exactly.
And I know that when they come back and go, right, I want to talk about that one. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, then we'll do that. Mm. And it's the same for grief. I had somebody who, grief was so, the loss had happened about 10 years previous. Boxed it off, 10 years, but this client could not talk about this particular person without crying, could not do it. Mm. But we sat together for about 12 weeks before the client came back and went, right, I'm ready, let's do this. And we did it over about 3 or 4 weeks. And I saw the client again just for a quick check-in, not so long back, and I went, how is it? And this client went, it's perfect. I can now think about that person in a really positive way, and I don't cry. Yes, I still miss them. Yeah. I think we get a little bit... I've talked about grief before. We get a little bit kind of wary over grief that if we lose the emotion, that we'll forget about them, but we'll never forget about something that we loved, ever.
That's one of the changes, hasn't it? Because years ago, you used to go to a funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a funeral, and that was it. Now, I went to one recently, and it was celebrating the man's life.
Yeah.
You know, and... somebody I served with and I respected, and well, you could tell everybody respected, it was packed.
Yeah.
And he said that he didn't want regimental ties and blazers. He was a football fan, Liverpool football fan. He says, come in bright coloured shirts or football shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he died before Liverpool won as well, which was sad. Yeah. But anyway, and then some still came in the blazer and tie because they're just too stiff and can't relax. But I went in a really bright colour because I don't wear football shirts. I came in a really bright coloured shirt and bright tie and everything like that. And then when the just before the coffin came into the church, somebody came around and said, when it comes in, we want you to cheer like it's a football match.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I hate funerals. I cry my eyes out in a funeral. Yeah. I hate them. I go because I show respect to the person, but I hate them. I hate them with a passion. I didn't cry at all during that funeral because of the way it went. And he was standing there going, clapping. It's a funeral, for God's sake, in a church, you know. Yeah. And it was, honestly, the atmosphere there was absolutely brilliant. And he played, one of the songs was Always Look on the Bright Side, what are they called?
Life of Ryan.
Yeah, Life of Brian, sorry.
Life of Brian.
Yeah, so Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. Played that on, was all whistling, you know, and then there's a piece of music that when you march into Buckingham Palace, when you're changing the guards, it's called Grenadier Return. It's a slow march, and he played that as well. And so you had the regimental side of it.
Yeah.
But it was one of the best funerals I've been to because it wasn't about him dying.
Yeah.
It was about him living.
Absolutely.
You know, and it was amazing, and I really like that. And I maintain, if ever I get a terminal illness, I'm going to have my wake while I'm still alive. And I want to hear the speeches.
That's brilliant. I quite like that.
Yeah. It's like these bucket lists and things like that, you know. I ain't got a bucket list. I've got a living list.
Yeah.
I call it a living list. It's things I want to do, tick off.
Just
it's a
living do it. List.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. We're ticking them off. You know, it's called a living list, not a bucket. It's not so, you know. Life's about memories.
Of course it is.
So if ever anything drastic happens to me and I'm in a care home and I can't do anything, I'll be thinking back to all the things I've done in my life.
That you have
and
done.
If you've done nothing in your life, then you've got nothing to think back on, have you?
I always think that every day that we... I know this is a little... It can sound a little bit heavy, but actually... Every day that we wake up breathing, for me, is a gift.
Oh, absolutely.
It's an absolute gift because who says we should wake up breathing every day?
No.
There is no law out there that says that that's our given. It's a gift. And if we can see it as a gift, then we'll enjoy it. But what a brilliant funeral that was. That's exactly, I'm going to say here, for the record, everybody that's listening, that's how I want mine.
Yeah.
It's got to be bright. It's got to be colourful. Yeah. It's got to be, and I want people to celebrate my life and not mourn it.
No, exactly.
It's perfect.
Honestly, that's the first funeral I've ever come, and I'm at the age now where I go to a lot of funerals, especially sort of ex-forces guys, because, you know, we've abused our bodies over the years. So, you know, they're dying young. He was only 64.
Yeah.
So I'm 60. You know, I'm going to funeral. It makes you realise that you know, you're not going to live forever, really. So it was good. I'm working on one. I've already paid for my funeral. I've got a funeral plan.
Perfect.
So you got to get it ready.
Keith, we are at the end. I feel like we could talk for hours, but we are at the end of our recording. So thank you so much for being here. Do you have any last messages that you would like the listeners to have?
Just talk about it. Don't be ashamed of it. Just talk about it. Be proud, actually. It means you've lived. You've got something to be traumatised about, you know, and you're not sorted out on your own. You need to go to somebody that's got the skill to bring it out of you so that you can get rid of it properly, not hide it. And that's where I am. So I'm halfway. Well, I don't, in fact, I was going to say halfway on my journey. I don't know how far I am on my journey.
You have no idea.
I go regular and it's changed me unbelievably so in a positive way.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well done for doing that. We were talking earlier off air and I think people would be surprised to hear that therapists, not all therapists, but I would recommend that all therapists go into therapy. I certainly do at least once every year. We have supervision, which is to do with our work, but at least once a year I dip back into therapy because I need to know how it feels. I've always got stuff to process. There's always growth to be had somewhere.
Absolutely.
Always. Thank you for listening. If, like I said earlier, if you have any subjects that you want us to cover, then please drop us a line. You can email the studio. It's studio@radionewark.co.uk. The podcasts are available on radionewark.co.uk, iOS and Android apps. The telephone number is 01636 678 033, and you can contact me on Guthrie Therapy's Facebook page. Just drop me a private message on there. If you like that page, there's every day there's content to be had and videos, so please enjoy that. Thank you again for listening. If you think this would be good for other people to listen to, then pass it on. Please share it. Till then, please be very, very kind to yourself. Take care. Bye-bye.